All right. And we've been talking about the resistance in the blood, doing a contrast between natural blood, the analogy of how the immune system, you fight off the resistance to diseases and all that is through the properties in the blood. And then we're talking about the blood of Jesus, how the blood of Jesus is our resistance to these negative spiritual things. And I think we were looking at Isaiah chapter 53 there toward the end, how Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. But prior to that, in verse 4, it talks about how he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Translators wasn't bold enough to translate it that way for whatever reason, but if you actually look at the Hebrew, that's what it said. And then Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all with any, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, don't forget all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction." The King James Version says, "Who crowns me with loving kindness," but actually what it said, "who encircles me with kindness, and who fills me to satisfaction with goods. My youth is renewed, satisfies me, so that my youth is renewed as the eagles." Well, that sounds to me like redemption did a pretty good job in covering all the bases, but we have to believe in it. Nothing's automatic. Everything's by faith. But the truth is, everybody in this room exercises faith in something every day. We just choose what we believe in. We can believe in the negative, or we can believe in the positive. And what you believe in is what is the result of what you fill your heart with. Out of your abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you want to know what's in there in abundance, listen to yourself talk. And then that will locate you where, as far as your faith, your faith level. I thank God for what Jesus Christ has done. I thank God for what the blood of Jesus has done. And it hasn't lost its power. It's just as real today as it was the day he shed it. So the implication, when I look at all this, is that Jesus separated us from all these negative things, and that the way we resist is through the blood of the covenant. And see, you have to understand the shedding of Jesus' blood has cut a covenant. And we'll talk about this later on when we get into covenant, but even under the Old Testament, when Moses, God gave the law, the commandments, the constitution, if you will, to the nation of Israel, he had Moses to write it in the book. Moses wrote it in the book, and then he sprinkled the book and the people with the blood. In other words, this is ratifying or setting in motion that covenant, the old covenant between God and Israel. And then when you get in the new covenant, you find that Jesus' blood is what ratifies the new covenant. The Old Testament would not purge the conscience. The blood of animals would not purge the conscience. But thank God the blood of Jesus not only forgives you, but it cleanses you from all unrighteousness, thereby purging the conscience to where you're not guilty of sin anymore. Once you've been forgiven, it's been eradicated, you're not guilty. So there's power in the blood of Jesus. It's not just a song. You understand? There's tremendous power in the blood. And the power in the natural blood is determined by the antibodies or the properties of the blood. And sometimes the proper antibodies in natural, speaking from a natural sense, are absent from the blood. Consequently, diseases are contracted, and so we can get inoculations to help produce antibodies or give us resistance to certain diseases. That, you know, they really push that. You know, the big thing was back many years ago with the polio vaccine. You know, so many people were getting polio, then tuberculosis. So many people were dying. They came up with a serum, if you will, to help prevent all that. What they're doing, they're putting things in the blood, getting properties in the blood to resist those types of diseases. Well, the blood of Jesus is pure, it's precious, it's not lacking any antibodies, you understand? It has in it everything that you and I will ever need, but I have to believe it. That's the bottom line. Nothing's automatic. It has to be believed. According to Leviticus 17, and if you look at 11, let's read verses 11 through 14, Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now note this, it didn't say the blood is the life. It said the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. It's the blood that does it, all right? Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. And as a matter of fact, if whatever man of the children of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust, for the life of all flesh is what? It's in the blood. The blood sustains its life. Now you think about this, Genesis 2:7, when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, his blood was in his body. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then became a living soul or a living being. God didn't breathe blood into him. God breathed air into him. He put spirit on the inside of him. James 2:26 says, for his body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so it's the blood that carries the oxygen throughout the body. And getting rid of the oxide, supplying the necessary oxygen for the body, and it's also carrying all the properties to resist things that would try to take your life. You understand? So the blood is very critical to the natural life, but by the same token, the blood is very critical to your spiritual life. And so there has to be emphasis on the blood. And it hasn't been so long ago there was a move here in the United States to try to get blood taken out of the hymn books. They want you to stop using the name of Jesus, and they want you to stop talking about the blood. Why? The name of Jesus has authority. And the blood is what remits sin. You understand that? Our life all revolves around the blood of Jesus. So we need to put great emphasis on the blood. The spiritual life comes as a result of faith in the blood of Jesus. You believe it. Yeah, and if you ever heard, the blood's been applied to me, or the blood's applied to my heart. Well, obviously that's not something tangible that you see. How is it there? How's the blood applied? It's by faith. You believe it. You understand? I believe the blood of Jesus has remitted my sin. Consequently, my sins are remitted because of what I believe. That it's not a fantasy world. It's based on the integrity of the Word of God. God said it was. I believe what God said. Therefore, it has to be accomplished. So, to accept Jesus' blood is to live. To reject Jesus' blood is to deny the very life, the very thing that will keep you alive eternally. Now, there's a difference between living and existing. Every human being will exist for eternity. But separation from God is not living, it's existing. But when you're totally, eternally united with God, that's life. And our life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we don't want to reject the blood. And then if you look at, let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, where he's talking about Abel's blood. He said, what have you done? God talking to Cain said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood, the voice or the sound of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. I'm hearing your brother's blood. All right. Then turn over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's look at verse 24. In Hebrews chapter 12. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, note this, that speaks better things than that of Abel. What does Abel, Abel's blood was crying out? Vengeance. Jesus' blood's crying out mercy. See, Jesus' blood's on the mercy seat. So he says, Jesus' blood is speaking of better things than that of Abel's. God is in the restoration business. He forgives. You understand? He salvages. God does not just want to write people off and excommunicate them or annihilate them or whatever the case is. And neither should the body of Christ. We're in the salvage business. You understand? God gets more pleasure out of a person repenting than he does for the death of a person. He gets no pleasure out of the death of the wicked. I mean, read your Bible. You understand? God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And a lot of people think God's just having a ball because, well, we wiped them out. No, humanity may. And see, just with what we just saw right here, the natural tendency is to want to rise up in the flesh and just attack those who are attacking. They're under the influence of the devil. And if you get up and you start killing people, murdering people, you're under the influence of the devil too. And there's a lot I don't understand. You know, but I know one thing, God is smarter than me. And so I'm going to go with Father Knows Best, and I'm going to stay right there. Why is all this happening? Well, there's a devil out there. There is an adversary out there. Now, there's things as far as the legalities in the spirit world that I don't know that God does know. So I'm going to trust the judgment of God in all these things. Okay? And not walk in the devil's territory and be just like the other people. But Jesus is crying for mercy. The blood is crying for mercy. Now, if you look at the Ark of the Covenant, in the English translation, we call the lid over the box. And that's what it was. It was a box with a lid over it. And actually, if you look at the definition of that, where it's translated mercy seat, it's actually lid. So why do they call it mercy seat? Because that's the place where the blood was sprinkled. That's what gave the nation of Israel mercy. Okay, so consequently, by practical application, it's called the mercy seat rather than the lid. But in the Spanish Bible, I learned this as I was teaching one night, and I was saying mercy seat, and the interpreter, he said, the Spanish Bible doesn't say that. I said, what does it say? He said, lid. I said, translate it lid. Translate it as it is, and we'll explain it. And so, when Jesus carried His blood into heaven, you understand that everything in the Old Testament was patterned after what Moses saw. When God told him, do not deviate from the pattern. And so he saw this Ark of the Covenant in heaven. He saw this, what we call, mercy seat in heaven. And so, animal blood wouldn't get the job done in heaven, you understand. It took a better blood. It took the blood of a human being that was sinless. And only one qualified. Okay? Now, if you think about this, why kill all these animals? Innocent dying for the guilty. It's as simple as that. You took an animal that hadn't sinned, you shed his blood as a substitute for man who had sinned. And if you look at the Day of Atonement with the two goats, one, the Lord's goat was killed and the scapegoat was taken away with all the sins on it. Forgiven, sins forgiven, because an innocent animal shed the blood. So God was, under the Old Covenant, God was accepting innocent for guilty. That's exactly what He did in the New Covenant. It was pointing to Jesus. Innocent would die for guilty. And it took the innocent to the innocent's dying for the guilty. And if you don't understand what this is all about, you never understand redemption without realizing what the shedding of this blood was all about. I've had people ask me, why did He kill all those animals? Because of the wickedness of humanity. because of the sinfulness of humanity. When they brought the sacrifice and they killed that, then it's covering human beings, okay? So God's taking animal, instead of killing the people, God is allowing substitute. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The innocent dying for the guilty. And thank God His blood was pure, His blood was clean. You understand that Jesus' blood was God the Father's blood. Man had no part in the pregnancy. You understand? Mary had no part in the pregnancy except yielding the womb. God put that in her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the thing conceived in you will be called the Son of the Highest. You understand? God formed Adam. He fathered Jesus. So Jesus didn't have Adam's blood. He didn't have Mary's blood. He didn't have Joseph's blood. He had God the Father's blood, a pure, sinless blood, so He qualified to be the sinless sacrifice that we needed. The blood speaks through the message it conveys. Thank God for that cry for mercy. You need it? I need it. Every day. His compassions don't fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. All right, I'll stop and let you take a break there. We're on page 4. We'll pick back up with the origin of the blood.